Breaking news into First Take this morning. The Cowboys, Stephen A., are likely to release wide receiver Amari Cooper by the start of the new league year. That's per league sources. Cooper is due $20 million. It's fully guaranteed money on the fifth day of the new league year, which is March 20th. Stephen A., obviously that offense didn't live up to the hype, now potentially losing Amari Cooper. Your reaction?
I'm a huge fan of Amari Cooper as a person. And I think he's a hell of a player, hell of a wide receiver, hell of a route runner. But in all seriousness, the money that he's being paid, you got to show up in big games and show out. He was not that dude. You got to be one of the best receivers in football when you're on that field. He was not that dude. And there were too many instances that we were able to point to. And the playmaker himself, Michael Irvin, brought that up, where the stars got to show up. And Amari Cooper didn't show up like a star. He wasn't a scrub. He didn't embarrass himself or anything like that. But you expect more when you're that guy commanding that kind of salary. And if you're not going to live up to it, then the Dallas Cowboys might as well spread the wealth around. Guys like CeeDee Lamb, who needs to upgrade his game as well. You got Wilson, you got Schultz, and all of these guys that they want to keep. You got to do that. Mm-hmm. And he didn't do that.
Yeah, we'll get into this a little more when Lewis Riddick joins us.
Sure.
And Sam Acho. But you know who else hasn't been getting things done? That would be the Lakers.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I know you were in the building, Stephen A. It was L.A. versus L.A., and the Lake Show came up short again. This is the Clippers' seventh straight win, ladies and gentlemen, versus the Lakers. This time, easy work, 21 points. How about Reggie Jackson? Big night, putting up 36. The Clippers shot 17 to 27 on threes. As far as the purple and gold, LeBron had 26. 6-8-4. Here's LeBron and Russ. Westbrook keeping an open mind.
Everything's the opposite of what you envisioned. Has that been hard for you, especially considering your stature, your credentials, to absorb?
What did I envision?
I suppose I would imagine some wins.
I mean, you said based on what I envisioned, I want to know what you think I envisioned.
I would, but I mean, you envisioned coming here and winning a championship, or at least being in
the season over.
It certainly isn't on.
Is the season over?
No, sir.
Thank you. I had no expectations. The last 4 years of me, I've been on different teams four times. So my envision of kind of thinking everything going to be peaches and cream, I don't. That's not realistic. That's not life.
I'm in a better team. You got to get a win. I don't even look at this point. I don't even look at the record or the standings. I look at the next opponent and in between days, how, you know, what do we not do so well? What do we do well? How can we continue to push and get a win?
Whenever he says that, do you remember 112 Peaches and Cream?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know if that was before your time. But
oh, no. I love that song.
I went right to 112. That's not where Stephen A.'s mind went, though. Let me ask you this, Stephen A. In all seriousness, when you have LeBron James, you feel like there's always a chance, right? But is this season over?
Season's over. What I mean when I say the season's over is that the Lakers ain't playing past April. They'll be home in the first round, whether it's the play-in game before the first round or the first round. They're going home. They will not be a part of a championship competition that's taking place. They're not a part of the equation. They're just not that relevant. And it hurts me to say that because we all know where I want to be in L.A. I mean, come June, I want to be in L.A. and Miami. That's my dream scenario. I ain't apologizing for it to a damn soul. That's how I feel. Ain't going to happen. Not on the west side. Ain't going to happen. And it's not going to happen because we have an MVP like LeBron James who's playing like an MVP, but with all due respect, not necessarily leading like one because of the roster that he's somewhat responsible to have accumulated, have assembled. He made the wrong decision betting on Westbrook. Now, we know that Russell Westbrook is having the worst season of his career. I don't think Russell Westbrook's season is over. Russell Westbrook can attack the basket still better than most. I think attack or kick, and some of the doldrums he suffered from can be eradicated. We don't know what to do about the durability of Anthony Davis, all right? I don't blame Carmelo Anthony one bit because I think he's done what you expected him to do coming off the bench for the Los Angeles Lakers. Malik Monk has been significantly better than I ever thought he would be. I'm impressed with Malik Monk. And THT, he was hurt last night, wasn't playing. But when he's in a lineup, he gives them a pulse as well. And Reeves, I like this kid as well. So there are things to like about the Lakers. Here's what we don't like. We don't like their leadership, and we don't like their culture. And I don't know if we should like their coaching. We'll go to the coaching first. Frank Vogel is a championship coach and knows what the hell he's doing. But there's something to be said about one's ability to galvanize the troops. And I think that it is clear that they are tone deaf to him. It's just obvious. That's number one. Number two, we look at the front office. You got Jeannie Buss listening to Linda and Kurt Rambis because one lady's a best friend and the other dude is a husband, and this dude has no reputation whatsoever as a coach or an executive. As a player, yes, he was a champion. But as a coach or an executive, ain't nobody listening to Kurt Rambis. But her. And it makes no sense. And Rob Pelinka is Mr. Pleaser, so you're up there and you're trying to please everybody instead of lead, and it's compromised you. But number three, we get to Russell Westbrook. And after I say this, Janae, I'll hand it to you. Russell Westbrook is going into the Hall of Fame. Russell Westbrook has never cheated us. And he is right when people in the past have gone after his character because it has been unfair to him. But if folks have been unfair to him in the past, he would be unfair to be upset at people for calling him out for these sound bites that he has given in the past calendar year. Washington, D.C., I don't care about championships. I see plenty of champions that are less happier in life than me. That's not why people walking through the turnstiles to hear that kind of nonsense coming out of your mouth. You understand? That's number one. Number two, he did it earlier, just a few weeks ago. Please, do you take it home with me? Please don't take it home with me. They could take that stuff home with them. I'm good. That's the impression he's given. Last night, knowing you're playing for the Los Angeles Lakers, the most storied franchise in basketball annals with 17 championships. You are a L.A. native. You know Laker Nation. And you sitting there talking about, I had no expectations? You had no expectations playing for the Los Angeles Lakers? These are some very egregious comments on his part.
I knew that word was coming.
And this guy, and he walks out, they're reprehensible. And you go out there, and it's almost like he doesn't play like this because the effort, he never cheats us. But the sound bites he gives comes across like, I got my money. I'm good no matter what. Especially in the times we living in. You just can't say stuff like that. Love Russell Westbrook. Respect the hell out of him. You cannot say stuff like that. And people are going to remember that. And I'll leave it at that.
You know, I think the hardest thing for me to digest after hearing that is, you know, I get, you know, you cash out and we talk about, you know, Bradley Beal make your money and not having the potential of winning a championship possibly with the Wizards the years moving forward. You make your peace, you reconcile that as, you know, professional athletes. But when you've had the journey of Russell Westbrook where you went to OKC, you sniffed a championship, that didn't happen. You tag team with James Harden. All right, you guys are supposed to, you know, analytically get over the hump and win. That doesn't happen. Then you go to the Wizards and people are coming on you for no championships. That's why you hear those things. The moment you step into L.A., that's out the window because you're playing alongside LeBron James and even AD when he's out there. And you know that those two already won a championship, and I'm someone that's a former MVP that's supposed to put them back there. And that's why it's more shocking for me to hear that. But I do think that, and as Kendrick Perkins says quite a bit, this is more of a sign that he has been broken over the course of this season. I mean, his game, it's just not been as fluid as it has been before. He's one of the best at grabbing the rebound and going and putting pressure on defenses. But the hardest thing was him reading it so far this season to know when to push and when to pull back. And then when you're in a half-court set, how are you going to, you know, be the point guard and distributor when people are guarding you on the free throw line? And then you're getting that magnified not in, you know, Washington, D.C., but you're in L.A., where even as they, you know, the Lakers lose, you're still getting a big audience and people are coming for you. That's been the hardest thing. And I would say, lastly, to wrap this up, the number one issue, I understand the coaching perspective. Ty Lue is someone that you could say maybe he would have been better to ride the peaks. Peaks and valleys, but there's been writing on the wall with Frank Vogel giving a one-year extension. All right, maybe he's not the long-term answer. He instilled an identity. You won a championship. Now there's, you know, hangover where they're not able to sort of put it all together this year.
You can't. Listen, you lost Jason Kidd, too, and you got to remember that. And by the way, this season, and when Russell Westbrook, the only reason I'll push back on you is that Russell Westbrook, when he made that first comment with the Wizards, he was averaging 27 a game and putting forth a monster performance and still said that statement. Mm. We got to remember that.
Hey, real quick before we go to break, since this season is over, I want to look ahead to next season real quick. This won't be the squad. Do you think this will be the same big three of AD, LeBron, and Russ?
If I were the Los Angeles Lakers, I would look to move both AD and Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook, because of the last year of his contract and what I could get in return for the $47 million he's scheduled to earn once he opts in. And then you look at Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis, I love Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis is a big-time talent when healthy. But because of his history of durability issues, I would say I'd explore seeing what I could get for his greatness. Because I gave away so many people over the last couple of years, I would try to get something
You're
back.
A fan of exploration. You know, you talked about the Brooklyn Nets should be exploring, and they did. Now you want the Lakers to explore. Interesting.
Totally true.
Okay.
I do.
I think AD is still going to be on the squad.
I do like to explore.
But I don't know about Russ.
There's nothing apologizing in regards to that.
Oh, my.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Oh, we have a lot of fun on this show. It was a great week out here in L.A. I want to get to some breaking news, though, now. The Cowboys are likely to release wide receiver Amari Cooper by the start of the new league year. That's for league sources. Cooper's due $20 million in fully guaranteed money on the fifth day of the new league year, March 20th. On that note, we bring in Lewis Riddick slumming with us. He's been big timing us a lot lately, Stephen A. Mm-hmm. And of course,
I like the suit.
He's
I like
at the combine.
Suit.
Yes,
I like
Lewis,
the suit.
You look
I like
very,
the suit.
You look very nice.
Yeah,
I'm a big fan
dapper.
Of the three-piece suit.
He looks dapper. He
How
dapper.
Are we doing, Lewis? Are you good?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. And Stephen A, I know you wear a lot of three-piece suits now. I noticed that. I've been watching you.
The game is elevated, but
yeah,
I stepped it down today because I'm in L.A. and you're in Indy. Just want to say that.
Okay. True.
Lewis, yeah, I love how you slow it down, and then you were like rushing me, like, let's go, let's go. Lewis, what do you think of the Cowboys releasing Amari Cooper? Is this the right move?
Yeah, it is. This is really what, in economic terms, you call this surplus value. This is a surplus value move. It's performance value relative to cost. His performance does not match up relative to the cost of him being on this roster. And they know that. They recognize it. They've seen that he hasn't really performed up to the standards befitting of someone making $20 million a year in salary at wide receiver position. And quite honestly, Michael Gallup's coming off of injury. He's also a free agent. They have decided to go ahead and shift those funds in his direction and for the rest of the football team. And quite honestly, look, when you look at the draft right now, and you look at the wide receiver core, you see how these kids were running out here last night. There's a lot of cheaper, much more affordable labor that can give them the value that they need on the football field that doesn't cost them the type of salary that Amari Cooper cost them. But Amari will catch on somewhere else. He's still a fantastic wide receiver. He just wasn't worth what they were paying him. It's really that simple.
Yeah, Stephen A. was on the same page. And speaking of cost, let me transition here, guys. I want to get to Lamar Jackson. He'll be entering his fifth-year option year with the Ravens when the 2022 season starts. That will be the last season Lamar is officially in the books unless an extension is reached or he's franchise tagged. So time for a new contract, right? Well, Ravens GM Eric DaCosta gave an update on where those talks currently stand. Take a listen.
We will work at Lamar's urgency. So he and I have had ongoing discussions. You know, we've talked fairly recently as well. He knows how to find me. I know how to find him. He's a guy that when we think about the Ravens 3, 4, 5 years from now, we envision Lamar being a very, very big part of that team and definitely a player that can help us win Super Bowls.
Okay, now one thing to note here. Hi, Sam Macho. So good to see you. Lamar is one of the few players in the NFL without an agent. He's representing himself in the contract negotiations. Stephen A., I'll start with you on this one. Should he play without a contract?
Oh, hell no. He shouldn't step anywhere near the field without a new contract. This is the game of the National Football League. You know, this is big time, and it's violent as hell. And we know that Lamar Jackson has been prone to injuries because he missed the last four games of the regular season, all of which they lost, I might add. We know what he brings to the table. More importantly than anything else, he's not somebody that just stands in the pocket and flings the football so adroitly the way a Tom Brady or Drew Brees once did, a Tom Brady did, you know, Aaron Rodgers still does, to, you know, all of this stuff. That's not who Lamar Jackson is. Lamar Jackson can throw the football, But we know there needs to be some level of improvement there. The big thing for him is that he can run with the football. He came in the last season having run back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons, okay? And he was en route to doing that this year with like 767 yards rushing before he went down for the last four games of the season or so. If I'm Lamar Jackson, I protect myself at all costs. I might not leave the house. I might call somebody to shop for me. I might call Uber Eats. I might get all my money. I ain't leaving anywhere. I'm not even parking my car. Somebody's doing that for me. I'm not going to the mall. My boys want to see. They got to come see me. You know, my lady wants to come see me. She got to come see me. I'm not doing anything until I get a new contract, okay? I'm not walking around where I could slip. I'm going to make sure I got some kind of Velcro or something that's sticky to the floor so I don't slip and hurt myself. I'm doing all. I'm taking showers. I'm not taking baths. I'm not doing anything remotely risky until I get paid.
Hold on. A bath is risky?
Well, some people slip in the tub.
Oh, God.
Some people slipping tough.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand what that was.
Seriously,
you just lay in the water.
Lewis and Sam laughing, but they know I'm telling the truth because we've had football and basketball players that have used that as an excuse when they've gotten injured.
True.
It's true.
Okay.
They've actually used it. Don't do anything.
I just didn't. I didn't know the degree of difficulty stepping in the bathtub.
Thank you for clearing that up. That's right. There we go.
Carry on.
Go ahead, Sam. I'm just saying, don't do anything. Go ahead, Sam.
Stephen A., this is maybe why you didn't go play quarterback in the NFL, because Lamar Jackson is betting on himself. You heard Eric DaCosta. He said, we're trying to go to him. Lamar Jackson could have this contract done last year, the year before, but he didn't. Why? Because he wants not only to get paid, but to be the highest paid quarterback or one of the highest paid in NFL history. The longer you wait, the higher you get paid. It's simple, right? The market continues to reset. And so Lamar Jackson saying, I trust what I can do in my abilities. I don't care. I might. There's 100% injury rate in the NFL. We understand everyone's going to get hurt. You're going to miss some time here or there. But the payout that you get from waiting as a top-tier quarterback is astronomical. We saw Josh Allen just get $258 million, $150 million guaranteed. We saw Patrick Mahomes get $450 million, which is a little bit higher than everybody else, but $141 million guaranteed. So what Lamar Jackson is saying is, let me wait for Kyler. Let's see if Kyler gets paid. Let's see if Aaron Rodgers, what he gets. Let's see if he's going to pass that $50 million a year mark, and let me get my money. So that's kind of piece number one. I'll stop right there, but there's no reason that he should sign this contract right now. Let him get his money.
There's every reason in the world for him to sign a contract right now and get this thing done. Because, look, I wouldn't use Kyler Murray as a comparable. I would not be waiting to see what he gets, especially considering the situation he finds himself in. Kyler Murray is not in Lamar Jackson's category right now. The market has already been set enough to the point where I think for Lamar, he sees where he needs to come in at. And really, quite honestly, you know, when is enough enough? If Lamar Jackson can score a contract somewhere in the neighborhood of between $43 and $46 million per year, given the fact that he has already proven to this franchise that he is the answer for them going forward. He is the player that they want to build around. And their general manager said, we will work at Lamar's urgency. We will work at Lamar's schedule. We're sitting here trying to go ahead and lock him up. They know what he means to this team. They know what they're trying to build around him. They know that they have taken this entire organization in the direction that really suits what his skill set is, and they're willing to build it and morph it and change it and adjust it at his discretion, so to speak. Not at his direct discretion, but at his availability, in terms of what his skill set is and what he brings to the table. And for Lamar to set out on the football field right now and just play on that fifth-year option salary at $23 million a year with no long-term financial security, given the fact that he knows exactly how he puts himself at risk in terms of his style of play, it would be foolish for him to play without having a long-term contract locked up, especially given the fact that coming off of a year where the salary cap was down and now the salary cap is back up, they have the cash to go ahead and pay him, and they're willing to pay him, and he knows where he's going to come in at, again, somewhere between $43, $45 million a year. I'm not playing until I get this deal done. Here's the issue, though. If you have an agent, I'm sure his agent would be saying, we're not letting you out on that football field until we get this locked up. The problem is, he is his own agent. And that just opens up a whole new can of worms in terms of how this negotiation could go, especially when you're negotiating on your own behalf, and it could become very, very personal in a hurry when you're not getting maybe what you want in terms of the language you're getting from the team sitting across from you. But there's no question he should not play until this deal is done. And it sounds to me like the Ravens want to get it done. I'm just hoping it does.
Go ahead, Sam.
So two pieces. Piece number one, why do the Ravens want to get this deal done so badly? It's not because we see him as their long-term future. They're saying, no, we want to get it done because we know the cap is going up. It went up this year. It's going to go up again next year. We know that the market's going to continue to reset, so it might be between 43 and 46 this year. But after, let's say Aaron Rodgers, let's say he gets in that $50 million range, it might be even higher. So when you're in any kind of negotiation, if one side is saying, hey, come on, hurry up and sign, you know you have leverage. Lamar Jackson has leverage, so he gets that. He understands his value. He understands his worth. That's number one. But most importantly is this. Lamar Jackson has been betting on himself his entire life. You could say his entire career, football career, whatever. He was at Louisville, bet at himself. NFL, they said, oh, maybe you're going to be a receiver. You're not going to get in the first round. He came first round, 32 overall, bet on himself. He won MVP 2018 or 2019 season, bet on himself. Every time he's bet on himself, he has won. And here's a great thing. Even though we talk about the money is great. This is more than about money. This is about a belief in yourself saying, I'm going to bet on myself and I'm going to win. And not only will that help me, it'll help Sam. Generations of people betting on themselves. Absolutely.
Sam, 100%. Sam, stop. Stop it. This is not Stephen a. question. Sam, stop. This is not a question about Lamar Jackson betting on himself as a talent. I totally get where you're coming from if that's what he's saying. We're talking about how one play could end your career, could end your season. He said, that's what we're talking about here. When you say bet on yourself, we're talking about a guy that has missed multiple games multiple times because of COVID alone. We're talking about a guy that missed the last four games of the regular season because of an ankle injury. We know he'll be back, but the point of the matter is, don't come on national television, Sam Acho, talking about betting on yourself as if and conflating the potential for injury, the risk of injury to one's performance. What Lewis is talking about is performance, okay? He's saying, excuse me, you want to go out there, you want to make sure, we know you bet on yourself. You've already bet on yourself. We know you believe in yourself. The fact that you don't have an agent shows you already betting on yourself in and of itself. But in the end, what we're talking about is the risk to injury that could derail everything. Could you imagine, Sam Acho, how you would sit here right now and feel if this brother got on a football field in practice, running, nobody touches him, his foot gets off in the turf or something like that, he tears his ACL or whatever the case may be, costing himself easily over $200 million because that's what Josh Allen got, 6 years, $258 million. That's what we're talking about here. And you're saying risk it, bet on yourself when the slightest injury could derail all of that? That makes no sense.
So, Stephen A., riddle me this, Stephen A., why hasn't Lamar Jackson signed a contract yet? Not even this year. Talking last year when they wanted him at the table. Talking right now, the last few months, all season, they wanted him at
the table.
One or
two reasons, and then I'll give it to Lewis.
Lamar Jackson signed a contract
yet? One or two reasons. One or two reasons, and then I'll give it to Lewis.
Because he's betting on himself. Wait a minute. Smart.
One or two reasons, and then I'll give it to Lewis. One, he's not hearing what he wants to hear from the Ravens organization. Or two, he ain't the brightest damn candle on the birthday cake.
Stephen A.
It's one of the
Stephen
two.
A.
Because there's Stephen no reason. A. There's no reason. There's no reason. Again, if there's 250 plus million on the table, you don't step on the field without a contract for an NFL team when that much money is at risk. That would make you the worst businessman on the planet, Sam. Lewis, take it away.
Look, it's already at the point where right now, okay, we know this when it comes to quarterbacks. The next franchise quarterback is always going to eclipse the previous one in terms of average per year and guaranteed dollars. So you could wait forever. Go ahead and really present it as, well, I'm betting on myself. I'm waiting for the market to reset. The market's always going to reset because the next guy is going to get more than you. That's just the way it works with quarterbacks. And it will continue to go up as the salary cap goes up. So how long should he wait? How long should he wait until he says, okay, now I'm done betting on myself. Now's the time to strike. You know what? And as he continues to wait, he's putting himself at risk every single time he plays simply because of the way he does play. And I'm not mad at him for playing that way. And I don't think that the Ravens right now are necessarily trying to push him to sign a below-market deal. I don't think that's the way they're trying to do business. I really don't. I don't think they're trying to push him to the table right now simply because they think they can take advantage of him and they can get him at below market value. They know what the market is going to be for him. They know what he deserves. I just think for him, for the sake of this argument, it would be absolutely foolish to go ahead and play on that fifth-year option and not have some long-term guarantee, because I would know, look, this is how I play. This is how I've made my money. I know someone's going to eclipse me the next time a franchise quarterback comes up for renegotiation. That's just the way it works. It happened that way with Patrick. It happened that way with Dak. It's probably good. It's going to happen that way again when Aaron signs his deal. That's just the nature of the beast, but he has to get a long-term deal signed.
I'll just say this, Lewis and Stephen A. It's different ways to view risk. Some people view it as risk, and some people view it as an opportunity. He says this is an opportunity to be on the field. Last season, I'm just talking about last season, when he played without signing a new deal, that was for some people a risk, quote unquote. But he saw it as an opportunity. Even with the time he missed because of COVID, it was an opportunity. This time right now, waiting for Aaron Rodgers maybe to get his $50 million a year, right? Aaron Rodgers got a couple MVPs. Lamar Jackson is younger, has MVPs as well. You might view it as risk. We might view it as risk. Lamar Jackson views this as an opportunity to break the
that
bank.
Don't make him
Lamar
right.
Jackson, I salute you for that.
Oh, that's you salute true. Him? Salute him? I mean, listening to you,
he's
if the brother trips on a curve,
life.
He's going to go broke. That's what's going to happen.
He has not been safe his entire life. He has not been living his life safe. Remember last year in the offseason, he was playing around
man,
with some kids.
Why are you talking to us like we don't comprehend this? We comprehend you. We heard you loud and clear. Lamar Jackson go out on the field with no long-term stability whatsoever in the National Football League. You act like he playing tennis.
He did it before. He can't do it. If he had an agent, he would tell him you cannot do that. You cannot do it.
I would tell him he should.
Okay. Okay.
Gentlemen,
you don't ever become an agent. Ever in life.
Are we done? Agree to disagree. Yeah. I learned a lot in this segment. Like, I'll be very careful getting in the bath.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
First of all, I'm going to come to you first, Jorge. What's the issue? Y'all used to be boys. You used to be roommates. What the hell has happened? What's going on?
It first started off with this piece of
shit. What
are
you
my
first?
My coach $12,500 for a fight that my coach coached him his whole career. Then when he had the chance to finally pay back the $12,500, he didn't. So I went out there and paid my coach out of my own pocket. So since then, it was already like, I'm going to fuck you up at some point. Look at him smiling. Can't even keep a straight face. Yeah, everybody at American Top Team knows that's why you got kicked out. You're soon to be kicked out of this gym, too, because you don't pay your bills. And you're drowning in debt from all the loan sharks. You owe money in South Florida in the poker. And you know what? You know what? You know what's going to happen to you if you don't pay that money, too? Keep smiling like a little bitch. I can't wait to break those fake teeth. You're such a for dog.
Let me hear from him, Jorge. Kobe, respond to that. Respond to what he just said, Kobe. What are your thoughts about what he's accusing you of? What's your response to that?
Fake news. Steven, it's fake news. Anything George says.
Let him talk, Jorge. Let him talk.
Hey.
These are fake news.
Anything George says is a lie.
Jorge, let him spin it. Let him finish.
He's all talk, no walk. Yeah, he's getting paid a lot of money like Dak Prescott for the Cowboys, but he ain't doing nothing. That night that I made that paycheck, I got paid
of
half
Top
of what
that's
that,
what
that
that's
said.
What
the commission
knows.
Said I made double what I said. I got
Top
paid half that.
I mean,
when you're talking about a fight, hold on. When you're talking about a fight, this is the kind of stuff that you want to see when you're talking about two cats going up against one another. Headlining UFC 270 in a welterweight grudge match. This is what it is. This is it, ladies and gentlemen.
You're trash.
Fellas,
bro.
I will
you're
see
trash.
Y'all there
like
March 5th.
For
a month, but I'm going to be coming to this. Thanks a lot. Enjoy this evening. I don't know if y'all hear me.
Lord, it was that heated. We've got a huge fight in the UFC this week, and you just saw who it's about. So it's time to bring in the one and only Chael Sonnen for UFC 272. What's going on, big time? How are you, man? How's everything?
I appreciate watching you adjudicate that, man. That was a hard job, but you got some good stuff out of these athletes.
Man, please, I didn't adjudicate anything. I mean, they were going off before the damn interview started. I did nothing. I was trying to do something, Chael. I didn't pull off anything. But is this, you know, you see a lot of guys acting this way prior to a fight or whatever. This seems to be some real animosity, some real hatred. It doesn't seem to be fabricated or orchestrated in any way. What are your thoughts about that? What's the relationship between these two guys coming into UFC 272?
This is as real as it gets. Look, Ed Norton and Denzel Washington aren't good enough actors to pretend this heat. These guys are melting the airwaves. Colby Covington lost a roommate. He got kicked out of a gym. He got put on a blacklist by all of AT&T. No, this is real. This is personal. South Florida is only so big. These two guys are going to fight sooner or later. It turns out that's this weekend.
You know, when I think about Masvidal versus Covington, here's what I think. With Covington, I mean, he's just a machine. He just continues to come at you. The best thing to me that's most impressive about him is his stamina. He comes at you all day, every day. The longer the fight goes, the more Masvidal will be in trouble. But we all know that Masvidal's got that kind of knockout power in both hands, not to mention his knee, which Ben Askren can speak to as well, getting taken out in 5 seconds. How do you see this fight unfolding?
I will tell you this. They do not know each other the way they think they do. I grew up with Colby Covington. I speak to him twice a week, whether he's got a fight coming up or not. We consider him a friend. But what I'm telling you, Stephen, they used to work out. George Masvidal was a 155-pounder. Those training sessions they had, they were separated in weight class. George Masvidal has done his best work at 170. Everybody's got a number. But Masvidal is a two-time title contender and is sitting reigning BMF champion at this weight class. And Colby's got new teammates. He's got new partners. Masvidal at one point did have a deficit with wrestling. That's where Colby came in. But Stephen A., that deficit was 4 years ago. He's beaten Olympians in wrestling at this point. It's not the same guy, and I'm not certain Colby knows that.
You know, I got to ask you this question, though. Colby goes up against Kamaru Usman twice. You know, obviously he got finished in 5 rounds first go round. This last fight against him, it went the distance. But we saw what Usman did to Masvidal. Masvidal's a knockout artist, but in the same breath, he got put to sleep by Usman. How much of an effect do you think the loss that he suffered to Usman could have on him in this fight against Covington?
Interesting that you bring up Kamaru Usman, because that is the most recent and the only common opponent. Usman is picking Masvidal for this reason. He said, yes, I did knock him out. Speaking about himself, he said, but I had to knock him out because I couldn't take him down. I'm a national champion wrestler. Masvidal is so good at takedown defense. I had to go to my feet. Fortunately, I got one through. That is relevant because Chaos Covington fully believes he's going to throw him down and beat him up for 25 minutes. That's what used to happen 4 years ago and when they were separated in weight. This is a new fight, Stephen A., and nothing will make an athlete check out faster mentally than being in a contest that turns out to be harder than they thought it was going to be.
So with that being said, who do you got for this fight?
I'm taking Colby Covington because for the same reason you said, you talk about that stamina, throw out the technique, you're just putting peer pressure. His nickname is Chaos, but he fights very chaotic. I think it's just going to get a little bit too hot in there. I think it is going to be a close contest, but I do think at the end of the night, we're going to a decision, and it's going to favor Colby.
Chael Sonnen, as always, appreciate you, man. Can't wait to see your coverage on this fight, man. Thank you so much for being here.
See you, Stephen.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Last night, Luka dropped 41 in a win against the Warriors. Now, that's twice in the last 5 days that the Mavs have gotten the upper hand on Stephen A's pick to win the West. The Mavs are definitely on the upswing and have won 9 of their past 11 games. Meanwhile, the Celtics got a big win versus John, the Grizzlies, that's the name. Jason Tatum led the team 37 points. The Seas have really come on after a slow start to the season and have now won 15 of their last 18 games. They are 5th in the East. So many teams that seem like they can win a title this season. Really, it seems like anyone's game. But, Chinne, which sleeper team can you see making a deep run in these playoffs?
Well, since now I'm a West Coast girl, I'm going to look at the Western Conference, and I really love what I'm seeing from the Dallas Mavericks. I mean, you have to start with one, Jason Kidd, and the job he's done defensively especially. This is a team that has largely predicated itself on offense, and Luka, even for a time being, trying to get offense to the post with Porzingis. Well, ever since he's been gone, they've had a higher winning percentage, and they've really just done better on both ends of the floor. Luka Doncic is right now the reigning Western Conference Player of the Month of February. You look at the Mavs as a contender. All right, maybe people will sleep on them, but we all know that the biggest thing Luka Doncic needs to do is win in the playoffs. He has yet to do that. It looks like he's preparing him and his team to do exactly so. So I'm looking at the Mavs, I'm like, they're interesting. They're 5th right now in defense, which is a huge jump from where they've been the last few seasons. I think he's the first player in Luka Doncic's in Dallas Mavericks history to have 3 straight 40-point games, and we know which players have been there. So I look at the West, I look at Luka, I look at the Mavs as a team that you don't want to play, especially if it comes down to the final possession, Stephen A.
I get where you're coming from. But I'm going to roll with the Boston Celtics. I want everybody to learn this name. Ime Udoka.
Nigerian. Ime Udoka. Yes.
Udoka.
Yeah.
Got it.
Like Chinne.
I appreciate it. Ime Udoka. I want to get it right. Ime Udoka. He's been an assistant coach, was an assistant coach in San Antonio and various other places. Ladies and gentlemen, you got a Coach of the Year candidate on your hands. I'm not saying he's going to win it, because they came on too late. But what I'm saying is, this brother knows what he's doing. This is the number 3 ranked defense in the entire NBA. You watch the Boston Celtics play defense? I know we raving about Jason Tatum, who is a stud.
Yeah.
And I love the kid, and he's got a bright future, and he's a star. But he's shooting 43% from the field and, like, 32-33% from three-point range. These are not numbers that knock your socks off. He's doing his job, and he obviously gets a lot of attention, you know, in terms of defenses, opposing defenses. But bottom line is that numbers could be better and will be better as his career continues to blossom. And he's done a lot because he's played 11 more games than Jaylen Brown, and we understand that. And they made a midseason move. And you got White and these brothers that have been added to the mix. And I like the job Robert Williams is doing. I like the job a lot of these guys are doing. Al Horford has been more than serviceable for them. Marcus Smart, I love this guy. All of that's true. But if you watch teams' offenses go against the Boston Celtics defense, this is where Kyrie Irving and people like that are needed. Because that's how you beat that defense. You can't beat that defense just moving the basketball. And that's it. These brothers are everywhere. They're like piranhas. They're everywhere. They're all up in you. They got tentacles everywhere. I mean, they get long. They can be long. They can be quick. They can be physical. They just keep coming. And I'm looking at this defense, and I'm like, my God, they are tenacious as hell. That's coaching. And when I look at them right now, I say to you, well, let's look at the Eastern Conference. Look at the question marks we've got about Brooklyn. We're thinking that Milwaukee's just waiting to turn it up. We don't know. We're looking at Miami, number 1 seed, and then they get knocked off, you know, the other night, giving up a 14-point lead in the last few minutes. We see them come back against Brooklyn without P.J. Tucker and Jimmy Butler. But KD didn't have Kyrie and Ben Simmons. I'm just looking at the East, Philadelphia. We think we see what they're doing with Harden and Embiid, but the last 2 games, well, against the Knicks. Not exactly the greatest litmus test. I'm just saying, when we look at the Boston Celtics and the way they defend, and then you combine that with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum seemingly getting on a better page when they're on a court together, and the pickup of White and what he brings to the table with Williams and Horford on your front line,
The Boston Celtics are a team to be reckoned with. I'm going to at least say that.
And you can make a case for that same principle applying to the West.
Right.
Because without Chris Paul, and it's not like it's a two-week, or I think it's at 6 to 8 weeks.
Six
to 8 weeks, which puts you right on the front door of the playoffs. With the Warriors looking a little suspicious defensively, and you questioned where is Draymond Green, the Memphis Grizzlies have to be feeling pretty good about themselves, even though I know Ja started slow, but he finished with still like 38 on the night.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Memphis and Dallas has to feel like, oh, we're playing our best basketball right now. So I have a question for you, Mr. Stephen A. Smith. Not saying that they're going to meet in the NBA Finals, but if the Celtics take on the Mavs, do you think they have enough weapon power defensively to slow down a Luka?
Hell yeah.
Okay.
I do. But now here's the tricky part about Luka. Luka plays at his own pace.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ever dictates his pace. That is true. But the Celtics are the kind of team, not only could they potentially neutralize him, but even if he gets off, they could neutralize everybody else. That's not how Dallas is winning games. And by the way, I will remind you, because you know this, Dallas is also a team that's winning because of their defense.
Exactly.
Their defense. And so to me, it's not about Luka. It's about their defense. Yeah. And when I look at Udoka's squad in Boston, I can't say enough about what I'm seeing from them
their
collectively as a defensive
their
unit.
Their best identity is not who's going to take over Jalen or Jason. It's
their
we're going to play defense.
They're going to shut you down. They're going to shut you down.
Happy birthday to Jason Tatum, 21 in the fourth. So impressive. And I just
and
need to
really
say to you, because I never get to see you, can we just talk about, she does NBA Today, NBA Countdown, and you're still playing for the Sparks.
We're doing it. We're training.
Beyond
we're working.
Impressive.
I know,
and
I'm very blessed.
And you're playing with your sister.
I know,
so
right?
Shout out to your parents as well.
Thank
if
you.
If I was in the features department, I would be doing a feature
y'all,
and following
y'all
you.
Are coming to a game, though, when you come to LA
I would
again.
Love to come
okay,
to
good.
A game.
Good.
Am I
going
to be sitting courtside?
Depends.
Then I'm not coming.
Can
we
you
friends?
Just be normal?
I'm not coming unless I'm sitting courtside.
You know what?
I'm not coming unless I'm sitting courtside.
I'm on my back up against the wall in the nosebleeds, and I'll be cheering.
Thank you.
Listen,
be a real one.
Not all of us are
I got you courtside.
I can change it. I will come, but I listen.
Okay.
With all of y'all know, I better be sitting courtside.
Roll the bump. See, Stephen,
I better be sitting courtside.
Because it's not Rodeo Drive, so we know what it is.
Okay, I better be sitting
courtside. I got you courtside. I got you.
Okay.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'd like to offer you an opportunity to actually wrestle at WrestleMania.
Oh, that'd be a dream, boss.
In the ring. Now, it would be the difference, though. When you played for the Colts, it'd be the difference of like, okay, you're the punter.
Okay.
But now, in the ring, you're going to be a linebacker.
24 tackles in the NFL. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a dream, obviously.
You know what? I love it. I love the thought of it. I do. I really do. McAfee's wild, man.
Yes.
Yeah, man, I saw him. I remember one Saturday for a college football game day. The brother jumped into the water. You know, the crowd was going crazy. He the kind of dude that it could be Lambeau Field and 10 below zero,
yeah.
And he'll be out there topless. That's McAfee. That's the kind of dude McAfee is. I think it'll be great. You understand? I'm wishing him nothing but the best. I love the idea.
Yeah.
I think he'll turn it out. Now, me personally,
he's box office.
If I got involved,
yeah.
I'd be the bad manager like Bobby the Brain Heenan. That's what I'd be.